This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, here's what's also good stuff that Joel could play again this year. Now, we'll see if you will. We don't know if you will. We don't know if you won't. But Nick Nurse provided an update yesterday on John Clark's podcast. Here's what the 76ers head coach said, the latest about Embiid.
Joel, he's around here for the first time. Is it good to actually see him in person again? And then how's his spirits?
Good. Joel's been really positive with me and all the interactions he was in for practice. And he's happy. You know, I think he's happy. He likes some of the new additions. He's looking around. He thinks the team's getting better. He looks out there. He said, I really want to be out there. You know, so let's see what happens.
Do you expect that maybe you'll get a couple weeks with him before playoffs and try to get back into a rhythm?
Yeah, I hope. Yeah. I don't know what to expect here. I think we're a couple weeks in, probably a couple more to go before we get an eval of where we're going to be. But yeah, I hope we can get a couple weeks in and get him some games and get him healthy for round one.
All right, so look, that's solid answer. I mean, like, they clearly don't know. It's saying pretty open ended, but it's nothing's like no closed door. And that's good. By the way, this leads us to our Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2024 Chevy Trax. It's arriving daily at Armin Chevrolet. It starts at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, do you think Joel Embiid will play again during the regular season for the Sixers this year? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter.
Nick Nurse is making it sound like it's, yeah, like this is... Well, everything's going great. Yeah. Like,
they're a couple weeks away from.
You're saying no. Uncertainty.
It is uncertain. He didn't say he's going to play again. He said we'll reevaluate in a couple weeks.
Look, I think we should feel good.
I do feel pretty good.
Yeah,
but I don't feel great. There's a difference between playing and playing at your best. The only way the Sixers can win a championship is if he plays at his best. They're not good enough otherwise, and they're probably not good enough anyway.
My expectation is, I think. Nick Nurse and everyone else, they understand that when he comes back, he will give them that.
No, I don't think he gave them that this year.
He's playing at an MVP level again this year, and it's not. It hasn't been that.
It's about
long.
Being in shape.
Maybe it'll
we
take
know
a little
it's
bit.
About being in shape.
Maybe
he
it'll
never
take
is.
A couple weeks. He'll be back. He'll be great.
I don't think that there's any difference really medically between what Marsh had to do with his knee and Joel Embiid. Now the toll
totally
on his
different
body,
sports.
Different sport,
totally
no question.
Different size, all that.
But that said, I do believe that this guy is going to bounce back. I think he's going to be fine. And there's no question in my mind that the guy is going to have to take reps, live reps, to be ready and to be the player that we expect him to be in the playoffs.
All right, so Howard Eskin will join us shortly on all the things we're talking about here today. Let's also tell you, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have some fun as it relates to the 76ers, because we got not one but two great impersonators. They're going to be in studio with us. Conklin, who's, Conklin, he's the legend. They can do, pretty much everyone from the 76ers, from Doc Rivers to Charles Barkley to Allen Iverson to Joel Embiid and many others. But we also got this caller, Leighton. You may remember we did this once before. Leighton is an unbelievable impersonator of Josh Harris. And we're gonna go into the lab and let these guys cook up some stuff. It's going to be live radio, free-flowing. Whatever happens, happens. We'll see where I expect it to be funny and great.
It was hilarious last time.
It was.
Like, legitimately funny.
Now, listen, maybe it'll be bad radio, and we'll be like, oh, let's not ever do that again. But the last time we did it, I thought it was great. Here's a little taste. This guy, Leighton's going to be in here around 8:20, 8:30 as Josh Harris. This guy is high level. not just with the voice, but the things he says. Here's a little taste of last time we had this guy in studio.
We have a billionaire in the studio.
Yes. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Came in my helicopter, landed on the roof. Beautiful studio here. Wonderful to meet all you guys. Rhea, hello.
Hello.
I do have to say, James's energy is off the charts. Wonderful guy. That's what we look for as an organization. We look for that from our players, from our coaches, to our chefs, to our sous chefs, to our smoothie makers. That's what we look for.
That's my little buddy. Isn't he cute?
That's going to be great. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to it. It's around 8:25, 8:30 today. Leighton, Conklin, Joelle, Josh Harris, Daryl Morey. They're all going to be in studio with us coming up in about a half an hour on 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from, yes, the Tasty Cake Studio. All right, there's a lot going on in Philly sports, and we always turn every Thursday at 8 o'clock from one king to the next, from Elvis to Howard. Howard Eskin brought to us by the great people at The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. King, good morning.
Good morning. Always on time, Joe.
I know. Well, you know, I had a tease later in the hour.
I got a lot to talk about because I can address every one of you guys.
Let's do it.
And all I'll say to Ruben is it's not the same as Brad March surgery, Joel Embiid.
Uh-oh.
If he had the flap repaired on the meniscus, and Marsh said it was just loose bodies, it wasn't a meniscus. If he had the flap repaired, he's done for the year. He's done for the playoffs. But they don't tell you that. So the point about Embiid, are they saying there's a chance he can come back because season ticket renewals and playoff ticket sales are out there for the season ticket holders? I wonder. All I'm doing is wondering to give people hope. Like, why would I come to the playoffs if Embiid's not going to play?
But Howard, when you say there is a chance he could play again.
Yeah, there is a chance.
Yeah.
But tell us what the surgery was. Did they repair the flap? I mean, I've talked to a doctor about this who does those surgeries. And if the flap was repaired and they said there was a problem with the whatever it is in the meniscus with the flap, if it was repaired, he's done for the year. It was repaired. So we don't know that.
No, that's interesting. Yeah, Howard, let's
wasn't repaired, though.
We don't know that.
We were told he's not done for the year.
We were told they hope he comes back.
Right. That's right.
So, John, I'm going to compliment you on something, too, coming up. I know it's rare, but I'm going
to
do that, too.
All right, Howard, let's kind of go one at a time here. There's a lot to get to just in the last few days. Let's start with the Craig Carton thing and his report. Vegan nature. You're closer to a lot of people than others are. What did you make of what was said, what it means, or what it doesn't mean?
Okay, here's what I heard, what he was trying to imply. It's a total exaggeration. I mean, this is what happens in the world, and everybody starts reporting it like, oh, yeah, it's just the world's coming to an end here. It was a total exaggeration. What has occurred in that situation, I believe, what he's trying to imply is Jalen Hurts, we know his personality's got it. It's got to take a step up. I don't know how he changed that. I mean, it was the same personality when they got to the Super Bowl, but when they're not playing well, you try to find reasons. So a few players have talked to Jalen Hurts about, hey, listen, you got to connect more. You got to be more emotional on the sidelines. You got to be part of us. And a few players have done that. The one player that's probably more, I think the word demonstrative is probably too much of implying what's going on was Fletcher Cox. Fletcher's a stern guy, and he was not happy with his emotion, but so other players were the same way. And he talked to him a little bit
Hold
stern,
on, Howard. You said Fletcher was not happy with whose emotion?
Jalen Hurts' emotion on the sidelines. And his connection.
Or his lack of emotion.
And his personality and his connection with his teammates.
Okay.
So Fletcher is the guy, and this is why this makes sense from what I've been told. Craig Carton said he's going to I'll use the word prominent player, that may not be with the team next year because of this. Well, Fletcher Cox has basically already said he's done. All right. And he said that he cleaned out his locker. He said that at the end of the year. So Craig's going to say, well, I told you a player wasn't coming back. It was not a fight. It was not a screaming match. It was not any of those things. And he's just one of the players that has talked to him, but he does it in a, I'll use the word, sterner fashion. Come on, Jalen, you got to be more emotional, connect more with the guys. And other people from the team have talked to Jalen Hurts about that. Now, let's be clear. The team was not good enough, you know, and they got to the Super Bowl with the same personality of Jalen Hurts the year before, but their defense wasn't good enough. Yeah. Their offense wasn't good enough. Jalen Hurts wasn't good enough. But the Craig Carton story is such a ridiculous, overblown exaggeration of nothing.
Howard, I got it. Let me ask you this question, because I think it's the natural follow-up.
Okay.
What do you know about the A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts relationship? Is it as good as it was 2 years ago when they acquired him, or has it frayed?
I think when you lose, things start to become a little more tense. Was A.J. Brown happy? But he, again, when they were winning, J.J. Brown wasn't happy when he was open and didn't get the ball. A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, do they see eye to eye? Or are they on the same page all the time? No. Okay. But is that the issue? No, that's not the issue. Is it the same as it used? When you're not winning, there's a lot of things that change. And I think it comes, winning changes. Boy, that cures a lot of things. And I don't think that's an issue. Are they as good, Joe? The way you asked the question, are they as close as they were? Maybe not, but it's not a problem. I'll say this. From what I'm told, and I believe me, I've been making calls and trying to check these things all week when this started. And I had heard about the Big Dom thing, that there are people on the team that felt him not being there maybe hurt the team a little bit. But that's another story that's out of control. It's just, I'm standing on the
sidelines.
So how
much of that is legitimate, Howard? Like, what's been reported on that is that Big Dom, when he was suspended, Sirianni on the sideline in his absence was getting into arguments with players and coaches.
Here's what I'll tell you, John, and you were kind of on board a little while ago when you said, I think it's over. I don't know if you used the word overstated. It's not quite what it sounds like it is. I'm staring on the sidelines. You know, I don't see everything, but I see a lot. And Nick Sirianni's an emotional guy. And I'll say this about Big Dom. He really keeps things together. He is really good for that team in so many, not just on the bench and not just in the building. He's really, really good. I didn't see a lot of that. Does Nick get over the top? Did every once in a while I say, hey, Nick, just slow down? Yeah, but it's not like, did he get on player? Sure he does. But on the coaches, he can do it on the headphone and not face-to-face. You know, I didn't see really a lot of that. But again, does Dom help that before it gets to that point? The reality is that's an overstated story, too. It makes it, and I had heard about, people felt that Dom was missed. And I had heard about that earlier in the week, but I didn't think it was big enough to really talk about because, again, I didn't see a lot of that stuff, but Dom is really important. No question about it, but that is out of control too.
All right,
that
Howard,
story is so over the top.
Let's get to the AJ Brown account tweet. Now this gets into strange territory because we don't know if it's his tweet or it's not his tweet or it is. I mean, it's James, how many Twitter followers on this account?
260,000.
And we know before this was
it has account. Been his account for sure, 100%. He said around the Super Bowl that it was hacked or whatever. We don't know.
All right.
But it was 100%. That was his account for sure.
So
I remember the tweet. What was it? What was the tweet?
Well, the Super Bowl one related to Travis Kelce and the Andy Reid interaction.
I would have been thrown out of the league if that was me.
But Howard, here's the latest.
Okay. He would have.
Yeah, but Howard, here's the latest. This is from 8 hours ago, 12:01 a.m. this morning. This is what the A.J. Brown account wrote. Maybe he wrote it. Maybe he didn't. I mean, I assume he wrote it, but I don't know for sure. This is what he wrote. Philly media is so lame. It's literally something every day. Then the fans believe the BS. They really should start raising the prices of microphones and cameras because you people will say anything for views. I see why nobody likes us because we don't even like us. Hashtag reality TV. First off, Howard, let me ask you this. Do you know if that's A.J. Brown's account?
He was off for a while, but I don't know or not know. I know why he went off at times. He didn't want to deal with people. And the reason he cleaned his Instagram, he just wanted to have spiritual messages. So, and I was told that clearly. That's why he did it at that time. Now, what's going on now? But he actually makes a good point. Because when somebody reports something, you know, the media is different now than it was. I'm going to speak at Villanova about media.
Yep.
And it's just, there's, you know, a newspaper story, a writer used to have two sources,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a story. Now they have no sources, and there's quotes that are just made up. It's just, and there's stories that are embellished, and it is for clicks. You know, Craig Carton, do you think he didn't do it to try to get Philadelphia people to watch him?
Yeah.
Colin Coward, Skip Bayless, whenever they say something about Philadelphia, it's to draw those Philadelphia people in. And it really is part of what's going on in media nowadays. So he makes a good point. Is it him? Is it not him? I don't know. But I don't totally disagree if it is him. With what's said there, that we go over the top.
Well, some they do, lost. Yeah. Some do, some don't.
They lost no because they're a bad team. They were a bad team. Now, they were 10-1, and we all kind of said, well, this is not the 10-1 that we remember them from the year before.
Yeah.
So those kind of things do happen. But it's just, and I understand, like the Craig Carton and Derek Gunn, it's like they're out of control. It's out of control. It's so over exaggerated and not even close to the real story. So I do want to say one thing about Harper. And Ruben, I know you're going to address this. When I was down there last week, here's this contract situation is ridiculous. Because here's what I was told by Philly's people, all right? Okay, he might be outperforming his contract now, but what's going to happen the last 4 or 5 years? Do we really think he's going to outperform his contract? No. Scott Boras made a mistake by having a 13-year contract. If he had 7, he could have had a legitimate chance of, okay, now you're going to be paid market value. And the organization believes that, and I don't know what they're going to do, but I can tell you what they feel. They feel that, okay, but the last 4 or 5 years, yeah, we're going to be paying him too much. And here's the only thing. It might be a hocus pocus thing. If they do anything, put options on both sides, extend it, let's say 3 years, and options on both sides. So either team can get out. So it's really not a contract. It's not an extension. Mm. It's just a lot of nonsense. But they believe, hey, listen, he may not be worth, and he's likely not going to be playing to his
current value, yeah, for sure,
money, yeah, at the end of that contract.
All right, Howard, love having you on the show. Thanks, pal.
All right, you guys, and John, I complimented you a little bit. You kind of took it under control there for a little bit.
You
got to be happy with
Richie Rich. Yeah.
Strange as that must have sounded, huh?
Strange but true.
Yeah. All right, see you, Ken.
Thanks. See you.
All right, so Ruben, let's dive into this Bryce Harper thing. And of course, everyone can join us today on all these different topics at 215-592-9494. So Ruben, what Howard's saying there is the Phillies don't feel they should have to give Bryce Harper more money and more years. And I agree with them. They shouldn't feel that they have to. Doesn't mean they won't. All right, let's step into this, Ruben. Unprecedented. 8 years and $196 million left on the deal. Guy wants more. What do you think the Phillies should do?
I think they're doing exactly what they should be doing. And I think Dave Dombrowski handled it perfectly. He could not have been more perfect with how he handled it and what, you know, they have other fish to fry. This guy is a signed player. They did not put a gun to his head to sign the contract. Boras does a lot of different things with contracts. He wanted to figure out a way to maximize the dollars. They spread it out. They made it a 13-year deal, which at the time I think was probably unprecedented. And he wants to make unprecedented deals. Now, the AAV on that becomes sort of obsolete in the average annual value because other guys are, you know, signing different contracts. It's a different marketplace. It happens year to year. The market changes. The man is a signed player. He signed for a ton of money. He got what he wanted at the time, and that's it.
What if he's not happy?
that's not, you know, that's not the front office's issue. That's where that's where Scott Boras has to step in and say, hey, we made this deal. We have to live with this deal. That's part of where the agent has to step in and say and do the right thing and say, hey, we made this deal. This is a ironclad deal. It's guaranteed. If he falls off the face of the earth, which I do not expect him to do, then the Phillies still pay the guy.
Right.
And so you cannot expect the Phillies to have to, you know, to just because now he wants something.
No.
But isn't he going to come back year after year after year after year after year when the Phillies don't do this? When they treat it this way, and I agree with you, I love the way Dombrowski handled it, but it feels like they're just going to keep knocking, and he's going to have to keep handling it, and you know, I'm glad that's him and not me.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's the right thing for Bryce to do.
Well,
I think he'll realize that this is that's not great for his, you know. He's done everything exactly what you want out of a superstar player in this city. I don't think that he's going to want to attach himself to something like that because there's a negative vibe that can be created.
Oh, let me give you one follow-up because I agree with you there's a negative vibe there. But here's the natural follow-up to that. I hear what you're saying. You don't expect the Phillies to sign him this month. What John and I are basically saying, though, to you is, do you think they will sign him in the next 12 months to a new deal?
I do not.
Okay.
I think that they need to sign Wheeler first.
Well, clearly.
And deal with that, and then deal with other issues coming up. You know, I mean, this is a signed player. He got what he felt he deserved, and he himself said, I don't want a trade clause, no trade clause. I don't want option. I don't want any opt-outs. I want to be here. This is his place, and now he's going to have to live with it as the current contract reads.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in on all these topics. Later in the hour, we're going to have some fun with Joe Conklin and our caller, Layton, who's an incredible Josh Harris impersonator. We'll get to that shortly as well. Let's get to Dr. Gina right now. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning, morning team. I've missed you guys and talking to you guys. I've been listening, but you know what? James proved his invaluability, if that's a word, invaluableness neck last week. No shade on Joe Wechter. He's a great producer, but man, did we miss James last week. I did, at least.
Well,
anyway.
I agree with you. He's the glue, but he's also got a sound and a savvy to this show that in his absence, it's hard to
Well, I think from him knowing you for so many years is part of it, Joe. You know what I mean? It's
Here's the key with that, Gina. He knows to just do whatever I tell him to do.
Okay, yeah.
So it's really simple. It's like that's like Ruben as a GM. Just do what I tell you to do. If you do, you keep your job. If you don't, I fire you.
Now, you did say something the other day, Joe, which, you know, I don't always 100% agree with you, but, you know, the whole, I wasn't even going to get into the Bryce Harper thing, but, you know, Scott Boras, can I use the word whore? I'm sorry, he's a whore. He with the whole J.D. Drew thing, like, that soured me on him forever.
Yeah. I'll never
forever.
Like him because of J.D. Drew.
Me too. I'm totally with you. And to have him be like the mouthpiece, so to speak, that's a bad look.
It's say this, Gina. Ruben just touched on something with Bryce that's more fundamental here. Bryce has to own that this is Bryce's decision to advocate publicly for more money. I mean, I guarantee you this. Scott Boras would not have said what he said 2 months ago if he and Bryce Harper hadn't privately talked about it and made the decision that Scott Boras would go public with.
The question to me is, though, you know, Bryce talks about wanting to retire as a Philly. So he's talking about years. You know, Boris is the one talking about money. So that, well, I'll
but
just
it,
leave
but
it.
But money and years are the same thing. I mean, it's all the same. It's all. Well, of course, if it's more years, it's for more money. He's not. You know what Bryce Harper and Scott Boras did not do? They didn't say to the Phillies, you know what? Tack on 2 years and let's make it a veteran minimum.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, because I want to retire here, so let's just make sure it's locked in.
Right.
I'll take $400,000 a year.
Right.
Let's do it.
He wants more money.
Yeah, yeah.
Very simple.
He wants money.
Yes.
It just is such a bad look. Let's talk about Sirianni for just a second.
Sure.
You know, this guy, we love him, we hate him, the flowers, the this, the that. He's a live wire. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's a live wire. Is his inability to control his emotions part of the problem? Yes, a small part. Is Jalen's inability to show his emotions part of it? A huge part of it. I mean, Jalen, if you looked up the word stoic in the dictionary, if anybody looks in a dictionary anymore, you'd see Jalen's face. So can you teach somebody to be less stoic? Can you teach somebody to be more fiery? Can you teach somebody to do, I don't know that's something that just has to be acquired or part of your personality to start with.
Gina, it's probably the oddest pairing in Philadelphia sports since AI and Larry Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think like AI and Larry Brown were about as different as could be, they found a way to make it work. Boy, oh boy, was it bumpy getting there. And these guys are very different. Now, I will say this. They're both competitive, and they both want to win.
I don't think they're...
And that helps.
Yeah.
Oh, they're definitely an odd pairing.
Yeah. But personality-wise, they're very, very
exactly.
different.
Exactly.
Very, very different.
Jalen being raised by a coach, Jalen having those just...
Yeah, that's the
themes and ideas inculcated into his young mind. Like he really is like another coach. So yes, their personalities they veer from one another. But man, they do see along the same lines in every other way.
All right, Gina, give me a great answer. A documentary you'd like to see made?
Well, I even have a name for it. Probing the process from faith to failure.
Wow.
From faith to failure.
Cow.
What a name.
Oh, Gina, that's fantastic.
That's pretty good.
Probing
the process.
Included.
She had a name for it. She came prepared.
I like that.
The doctor.
So, all right, I need a ruling here. Mm-hmm. Seltzer, who sent those tweets? Brian Colangelo or Babs Boutine?
How about this? Both.
There you go.
Both at home having a glass of wine.
Well,